Names matter. Names carry identity. Names have meaning. When you hear a name, you associate the name with the character or the reputation of the person to whom the name is associated. For instance, you don't have to say anything out loud. When I say the name Pete Rose, you think of something. When I say the name Magic Johnson, the name is associated with a reputation or a character. When I say the name Deion Sanders, you think of something. When I say the name Donald Trump, don't say it out loud, you think of something. Some names carry honor and respect. Other names carry shame and failure. Names literally open the door to relationships. When someone introduces themselves to you, the first thing you learn about them is their name. Without knowing their name, you cannot build a relationship with them. Now, here's what's interesting about Scripture. Scripture places tremendous emphasis on the names of God. The Bible reveals the names of God because it reveals His character and it reveals His nature. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 9, the last verse in the chapter says the same thing. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So David is overwhelmed here at the name, at the reputation, at the character, at the nature of God Almighty. All of us have phones, and at times our phones lose power. And we got to get power to our phones so they will work again. Such is what the name of Almighty God is there for. There is power in the name of God. And when we have a relationship with Him and we understand each of His names and what is associated with the power of God's name, we plug into His name, and it gives us what we need to exist. This morning, three truths about the power in the name of Almighty God. Sermon I've entitled, The Mighty Name of Jesus. First truth is this. Notice the excellence of God's name. Psalm chapter 8, look at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord. Now that sounds redundant, but there's two words for Lord in Hebrew. Yahweh is the first word, the first Lord. And notice it's all caps. It's to show respect for God's personal name. Yahweh means self-existent one. God exists in and of Himself. There's nothing outside of God that He needs to exist. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. The Lord, all caps, Yahweh, God, made the earth and the heavens. By His own will and power, God existed before the universe existed. God is the uncreated creator and is absolutely complete in Himself. Now, you're not. If you don't have oxygen, you don't exist. If you don't have food, you don't exist. If you don't have water, you die. God, Yahweh, is self-existent. He needs nothing and no one to exist. Yahweh God revealed His name to Israel. Moses is going to Pharaoh and he says, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "Tell him, I am that I am," Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, "has sent you." Now look back at the verse, Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, that's the first one. And then our Lord. It's not redundant. It's a different Lord. It's Adonai, Lord in the sense of ruler, Lord in the sense of master, Lord in the sense of king. So he's saying, Yahweh is my ruler. Yahweh is my king. How excellent, how magnificent is your name in all the earth? Hopefully this has happened to no one in this room. But a police officer comes upon you, and maybe he's chasing you. And he says, stop in the name of the law. He's not saying the power is in the words, the name of the law. He's saying the power is in what those words represent. That's what he's saying here when we come to the name of the Lord. We're not just referring to the syllables in the name. We're referring to the sovereignty in his name. Our Lord, it's the power that the name represents. Now notice this also. O Lord, our Lord. He just didn't know God intellectually. He knew him personally. He's saying, God has been my protector. Man, need my hanky on this one. God has been my provider. Yes, he's Yahweh, but he's my ruler. He's my king. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's my forgiver. David had learned this while he was running from King Saul. He had learned this in times of betrayal. He had learned this in times of failure. In every circumstance, David discovered he could depend upon Yahweh God, the self-existent God, the one that always could be leaned on and could be trusted. He says, he is my Lord. Now, all of us have trusted names that we trust and depend upon and lean on. You say, what are you talking about? Shoes. Some of you are Nike people. Some of you are Reebok people. You like the name. Some of you just cheat and you just got a deal on them. But some of you, I like Under Armour. Some of you, you look at your britches. I'm a Levi's person. You like the reputation. You like the character in the name. I like Wrangler. Some of you, God help you, are Ford people. I don't know why you like that name. Some of you are Chevy people. You assume quality because of the name that is attached to it. Listen, God's name carries a perfect reputation. He has never failed. He has never broken a promise. And he will never wear out. So you may brag about your shoes. You may brag about your bridges. You may brag about your automobile. What we should be bragging about is about our God who never fails. Amen. Number one, the excellence of God's name. Number two, notice the expanse of God's name. You see what it says? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? So creation is a stage where God displays his greatness. The heavens are not random accidents. They are testimonies that our God, the name of our God, it's great. Every sunrise preaches a sermon. Every star that twinkles in the night declares there is a creator. David mentions both the heaven and the earth because both are in awe of God. Remember David? He's going to fight Goliath. Do you remember? 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 45. You come to me with sword and shield, I'm coming to you with something far better. I come to thee in the name of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. David understood this truth. The battle might have been bigger than him. It wasn't bigger than his God. So he says, I'm trusting, I'm depending, I'm leaning on God Almighty and his name and the authority behind his name. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. I like this one. The name of the Lord is. The name of the Lord is. The name of the Lord. It's a strong tower. It's a high tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. When life becomes overwhelming, what do? We run to Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We run to Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We run to God Almighty, who is our help in time. No, we're not fearing. No, we're not running to man. We're running to the name, the reputation, the character that is above every person, the name of God. Look at verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger to conquer Pharaoh's empire. He didn't summon the Assyrian army. He didn't summon the Philistine army. No, God sent a baby in an ark of bulrushes named Moses. And at the appropriate time, he sent Pharaoh's daughter down to bathe in the Nile River. And there she found little Moses crying at just the appropriate time. And Moses, in the fullness of time, humbled Egypt to the dust. Look at verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Look at verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained. David, remember, was a shepherd boy. Many a night he would go up to sleep, looking up at the stars. He knew from his Bible who had created them. He knew that God had counted them. He knew that God had named every one of them by name. He was awed by his might. He was awed by his majesty. That God, his God, was the creator. Now look at your left hand. Come on, look at your left hand. Most of you have watches on. If you find a watch on the ground, you're going to say, that just didn't happen to get there and all together. There was a manufacturer. Mine was manufactured by Apple or something. But you know, behind every watch, there was a manufacturer. When you walk outside today, and you see grass, and you see trees, and you see birds, that didn't happen by a big bang. That didn't just evolve any more than that watch just evolved. It had a watch designer, and our world was designed by Almighty God. Number 2, the expanse of God's name. Let me give you one more. What are we supposed to do? The exaltation of God's name. Look at verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Now here's what blew David away. Even, maybe even more than the creation of the universe, maybe even more than the stars in the sky, that this God, this created God, this self-existent God cares about us. He cares about you. He's mindful and he's thoughtful and he's concerned about what you're going through. Your sniffles, your car breakdowns, your job calamities, your relationships, and this all-sufficient God cares about you. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when we pray, we are to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed means to set apart as holy. To approach God, we must realize who he is. Imagine if you were in a room and the President of the United States walks in. Usually, most of the time, a lot of times, they're going to be playing Hail to the Chief. Usually, most of the time, majority of the time, everybody's going to stand up. Usually, majority of the time, most of the time, everybody's going to, whoever he is, if he's from your party or from the other party, you're going to respect him and show him the honor that he deserves because of who he is. President, whoever he is or she is, you're not going to say, "Yo, homie, what up? Good to see you, my homeboy." Now, that's how you may talk to your boys around the house. That's not how you talk to God Almighty. We're to show respect. We're to honor him. If earthly authority deserves respect, how much more does the Creator, God, the self-existent one, deserve our respect? When you understand how great God is, the natural response is to humble ourselves before him and to adore him and say, "How excellent, how majestic is your name in all of the earth." Ten Commandments, one of them. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." To use the name of God in vain means it's empty of its meaning. It means you water it down. It means it's not sacred. It means it's not separated. It means it's not holy. If you come to our house this afternoon for a meal, we have two types of dishes at our house. I'll take you over by the refrigerator. I'll open up the cabinet and we have the new version of Tupperware. They're Walmart. They're just plastic dishes. We eat up on them every day. They're clean because Tracy made me wash them. And then she went behind and washed them again because she didn't think I cleaned them good enough. We call them everyday dishes. But maybe twice a decade or every other year, we'll pull out the fine china out of the thing in the dining room. And she doesn't let me pull them out because she thinks I might drop them. And those little glasses things that really delicate. Now the reason we only eat off of them every couple of years, because it's fine, because it's separated, because you gotta be somebody to eat off of that dish. And I don't qualify. That's the way we treat God. He's holy. His name is powerful. We reverence his name. We respect his name. We honor his name. We don't use his name casually. We don't just, "The man upstairs." Oh, no. God is in heaven, seated upon his throne, but he is not the man upstairs. He is God, Yahweh God, and we fall on our faces and we worship and we depend upon the name of Almighty God. Look at verse 9. He says it again. just for those of us who didn't quite get it. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When we understand God's name, we trust him more. When we understand the power of God's name, we depend upon him more. When we understand the authority of God's name, we worship him more. Do you get it? When you know his name, you begin to understand his power and the power that is available to you and to those that call upon his name. I don't think I've convinced you yet. Let me just give you three other verses and I'll be done. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter is going to the temple to pray. Lo and behold, outside the temple is a beggar who asks Peter for money. Notice how Peter responds. Then Peter said, Acts chapter 3, verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. I got something that's a whole lot better than silver and gold. In the name, the authority, the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He did not claim personal power. He claimed the authority of Jesus' name. There's power in that name. There's help in that name. There's healing in that name. There's hope in that name. Peter knew him personally, and he had the power, the authority of the name of Jesus. Let me give you one better than that one. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The early church, they weren't preaching morality. They weren't preaching philosophy. They weren't preaching self-improvement. They preached the name of Jesus. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in a program. It's not in a ritual. It's not being dunked in a tank. Salvation is in the name, the person of Jesus. Not in the syllables, but in the power behind his name. When we say the name of Jesus, we're saying his sinless life. We're saying his atoning death. We're saying his vicarious resurrection. We're saying we believe in Jesus, the person behind the syllables. That's what we're saying. A guy that's drowning out in the lake or in the ocean, he doesn't need swimming lessons. He needs a rescuer. And that's what Jesus is. He comes not to give you swimming lessons. He comes to save you. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is not saying the name. Salvation is trusting the Savior and what that name represents. Let me give you one more. Closer to home for those of you that know Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever, that means everything. That means anything you do when you get up to anything you do to the time you go to bed. Whatsoever ye do. Word, that means every word you say. You get that? In word, deed, that's every action you do. Everything you say, everything you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Christian life is lived under the banner of Jesus' name. We are to respect him with our words. We are to respect him with our name, with our actions. And if our words do not honor Jesus, we don't need to say them. Did you get that? I mean, no cussing. Our actions, there too. Jesus, would you be pleased with me punching this guy I work with? The answer would be no. Because you want to honor, you want to respect, you want to reflect him, you want to revere him, you want to represent him. Look what the verse says. Whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Let me close it like this. How many of you know what a telescope is? Let me see some hands. They're going to put it on the screen. For those of you, the four of you who don't. The telescope. You look through the telescope. The telescope does not make the star bigger. It helps you see how big the star is. When you magnify the name of God, you don't make him bigger. You don't make him greater. You simply realize how great he already is. So in your financial situation, in your medical situation, in your relationship, some of you have given up on your relationships. In your relationship issues, when you start focusing on the name of Almighty God, you realize he's greater than that relationship. He's greater than those finances. He's greater than that health crisis. He's greater than everything. You magnifying him and you exalting him and how excellent is your name in all the earth. You're not making God greater. You are realizing how great our God is. Last verse and I'm done. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's what you're to do today. Magnify him, exalt him in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your difficulty. Exalt, look at the last part of the verse, Psalm 34:3. Magnify the Lord with me. That means you're doing it together. Husbands and wives, you're magnifying the Lord. Co-workers, you're magnifying the Lord. Best buddies, you're not gossiping, you're magnify the Lord with me. That's beneficial. Gossiping doesn't help a thing. Facebook doesn't help a blooming thing. Magnifying the Lord. Look at the last part of the verse. Let us exalt his name together. Help is on the way when you start magnifying the name. The name. Let us exalt his name. There's hope for every situation you're in through the